Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Yehoash, was written by Mark Siegel. This is the sound of a clock, the sound of man's finite time on earth. And these are the words of Yehoash Solomon Blumgarden, poet. He wrote them in the language of the Jewish masses, Yiddish, and they're just as beautiful in the English translation.
A song of nights now dead, and dawns unborn, all are mine. Little matters if I see, little matters if I hear. All shall come to me by paths unseen, if I but live enough millennial years.
This is the story of Yehoash the poet. Yet it is also your story and mine, as you will see. But it can be understood only if you hear the ticking of the clock behind it. The day is short, and the work is great, and the master of the house is insistent. In the year 1880, a ship, one of many ships, inched its way up New York Harbor, and a man, one of many men, stood in his turn before an immigration inspector.
Name?
Yehoash Solomon Blumgarden.
Age?
20.
Got your health certificate?
Oh, yes. Yes, Inspector. It's somewhere among these papers.
Well, find it, Blumgarden. 100 people are waiting behind you.
I'm sorry, Inspector. I'm too excited, I guess. I'm too elated at the prospect of America.
Elated at? Where'd you learn to speak English so good? Never mind. Where's the certificate?
Oh, here. Here, I found it.
Oh, good. Health satisfactory. Now, just one more question.
Yes, sir?
Occupation.
Poet.
What?
Poet.
Blumgarden, don't make my job so hard.
I don't understand, Inspector.
Well, say anything. Clerk, salesman, shirt maker, but not poet.
But that's what I am.
Look, Blumgarden, for the last time, listen to me. You have to show you're not going to be a public charge. How can you make a living writing poetry?
I don't expect to, Inspector.
You don't expect... Well, then how do you plan to support yourself?
By working.
At what?
Anything.
Ah, that's better. What shall I put up?
Poet, Inspector. You see, when a man's a poet, it doesn't matter what job he works at to make his living, he's still a poet.
For 10 years, Yehoash worked as a clerk, as a bookkeeper, as a salesman, but always he remained Yehoash, poet. And in the gray pavements of New York, in the tenements of the Lower East Side and Brooklyn, in the bridge he walked to reach the throbbing city, he saw beauty and the hidden meanings revealed only to the poet's eyes.
I am the bridge for pilgrimage of throngs that surge across my spine, to climes benign their heritage. I am the bridge. An endless chain the host moves on to blessed domain.
Yehoash, go home. The factory's closing.
I'm working, Morris.
Let it go until tomorrow.
No, Morris, it's my own work.
Look, Yehoash, I'm not talking to you as the boss. I'm talking to you as a cousin.
And a very kind cousin, Morris. Now, let's
Thank you,
see.
But I'd be more grateful if you'd listen.
All right, I'm listening.
No. I don't like the way you look.
An actor has to look handsome, Morris, but a poet...
Please, Yehoash, be serious for once.
Serious? I'm always serious. I am the most serious...
You see? You're ruining your health. You work all day and you write all night.
I have to write, Morris.
Why? Where does it say you have to write? Just because you're talented, does that mean you can't sleep? Does it mean you have to stay up all night?
Morris, if God gives a man the gift of talent, it doesn't belong to him only.
Then to whom?
To everyone. A poet has a responsibility. Morris, if I didn't share what I see, what I feel, wouldn't I be cheating others of the gift heaven gave?
Shut the door, you horse. I can't hear you in this racket.
I've brought you the figures for the month, Morris. Here on this pay. On this pay.
There, that cough again. I'll get you some water.
No, it's only the glass dust, Morris.
Only? Look, I'm not going to ask you again, Yehoash. Take the morning off. Now. I want you to see a doctor.
Sit down, Mr. Blumgarten.
Well, if you don't mind, I'd rather stand.
You're in a hurry?
Well, I'm always in a hurry.
I think you'd better sit down anyway. Would you like a drink?
No, Doctor. No, thank you.
Here. I advise you to drink it.
As my doctor?
As your doctor. Mr. Blumgarten, how long have you worked in your cousin's glass factory?
For many months, Doctor, as a bookkeeper in the office.
And all that while you've been breathing in glass dust.
Doctor, I'm a grown man. What are you trying to tell me?
Drink your drink, Mr. Blumgarten.
No, thank you. What does the examination show?
That glass dust...
Consumption.
Consumption.
I knew it. Well, what do you prescribe?
Rest, mainly. Relaxation.
Well, I'll try. Goodbye, Doctor.
Just a minute, Mr. Blumgarten. I'm afraid that's not all.
Not all?
It's my duty to tell you...
Tell me what?
It isn't easy, but I'll put it simply. With your lungs in that condition, you can't live very long.
How long? How long is not very long?
Perhaps 3 months, Blumgarten. At most, 6.
What does a man do when he's told he has 6 months to live? He can slide into bitterness and despondency. He can struggle in a morass of panic. He can fly off in a wild pursuit of sensation. Or, if his inner resources are great, he can accept his fate and slowly, by some curious chemistry of the spirit, convert tragedy into new powers. Powers that, in the ordinary course of events, might never have been tapped.
While I have life, Morris, I plan to live it.
Of course. Now, I don't have much money, but what I have...
Morris, try to understand. It's not your fault. It's my lungs' fault.
Still, a little money will help.
Morris, money's never been important to me. Now it's even less important.
What will you do?
Oh, take what I have and go west to the Rockies.
Where the air is clean. Good. It's a good plan.
I want to see the sky, Morris. Feel the sunlight.
Yes, yes, I understand. That should be good for your lungs.
My lungs? I'm not thinking of my lungs, Morris. I'm thinking of my soul.
The man on the ship of 1890 is the man on the train of 1900. And no matter what a man's circumstances, if he is a poet, he remains a poet.
Faster speeds the coach, and faster yet. And soon the wheels will be at rest. I am distressed. So little time left to forget.
Yehoash Bloomgarden went to Denver, Colorado. In Denver, he met another man from the East, a scholar and a writer, Chaim Spivak. Chaim Spivak was a good listener, an enthusiastic one-man audience for the poetry of Yehoash.
It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
I'm glad you like it, Chaim.
How can I say it, Yehoash? You use language like a chisel. Sharp, clean.
If only there were more time, Chaim.
More time?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to impose my problem.
That's all right, Yehoash. Here in Denver, people share their problems quickly.
Maybe here in Denver, they have to share them quickly.
Well, while we can laugh.
It's only a device, laughter. A device to outwit death.
Yehoash, there are better devices.
Such as?
Work.
Yes, that I know.
Not just work in general. You set yourself a task, a project, maybe even a dream.
And then?
Then you work towards its completion. You concentrate on the task. You don't think about death. I'll show you how.
Hi. You've taught me something. You're very wise.
Wise? Wait, Yehoash, you'll see. Everyone grows wise in Denver.
Yehoash Bloomgarden saw. With Chaim Spivak, he found the therapy of work. But because he was a poet, he looked deeper. In the towering mountains and deep canyons of the Rockies, in all of nature, he saw God's timeless handiwork. And something in Yehoash reached towards the understanding that time is a stream without visible beginning, without knowledgeable end.
The centuries dissolve like dew, and human life like dust. We tread amid the ancient graves in dread of death's cruel thrust. Oh, rend the shrouds that shut out light and faith and trust. In death disclose the dawn of life, and in decay new birth. In fleeting moments, everness. In husks, the core of worth. And let thy step resound upon our might-palled earth.
Yehoash, lift your glass of tea. I have a toast to make.
A toast, Chaim?
To the future.
Chaim, I believe you're drunk on tea.
No, not on tea. On time.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm willing to humor you.
Yehoash, how absent-minded can you be? Don't you know the date?
The date?
Yehoash, my friend. I drink to you and to the future. Today you have been in Denver 6 months.
The months passed, and the subtle process in Yehoash's spirit accelerated. He learned to understand that nothing in nature, not even a cold gray stone, is really dead or devoid of destiny. As he saw more in nature, his horizons widened, and he saw more in people. His sensitivity responded to the pain of others, and with an energy he never thought he had, he searched for a new realm of usefulness.
Yehoash, you have no idea how you've changed.
I think I do, Chaim.
A year ago, you felt you had no time at all. Now you act as if you had 1,000 years.
I have, Chaim. More than 1,000. And so have you.
Then you really want to go ahead,
Look, Chaim. For a year, we've worked together on the beginning of our Hebrew-Yiddish dictionary. Get this far?
We're just at the start.
True, and we'll continue. But, Chaim, I know what your bigger dream is. What it's always been since you came to Denver. And I've begun to share it.
I'm afraid it's only a dream, yours.
Why should a sanatorium for Jewish consumptives be only a dream? Chaim, if a dictionary can become a reality, why can't a sanatorium become a reality?
A dictionary takes only time. A sanatorium needs money.
Chaim, if anyone knows which is more important, time or money, we should.
We know. But the people who have both time and money, do they know?
We'll tell them, Chaim. We'll organize a committee.
You amaze me. You really amaze me.
Why should I amaze you?
How can a poet be an organizer?
Chaim, what do you think a poet is? A poet looks at the world and life and death and organizes his impressions so that other people can understand and see what he sees. Chaim, surely a man who tries to organize the deepest thoughts of men should be able to organize a little thing like a Jewish consumptives relief society.
On a crisp autumn day, two men with faith in their hearts and a dream of helping others walked down a Denver street. One, Jehoash the poet, carried a soapbox in his hand.
Right here, Jehoash? Just like this?
Right here, Chaim. On this corner.
You expect to get money just like talking on a street corner?
Well, it may not be much, Chaim, but you'll see. We'll get something.
Jehoash, you really want to get up and start talking to people you never saw before?
Want to? Who wants to?
But then why?
It's like riding, Chaim. I have to.
No one says you have to, Jehoash.
You're wrong, Chaim. Jehoash says I have to. My friends! My friends! Please come closer. Good. Fine. My friends, more than a year ago, I came to Denver. That's right. More.
He stood
than
on the soapbox talking to the ill and the impoverished,
I came
painting a word picture as only a poet
uncertain,
could, drawing together in brotherhood those who shared a common fate.
Destitute.
And when he had finished, there was silence. And then applause. The applause of hope.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. And now, I ask you to help make this dream come true. Give what you can.
A penny, Jehoash? Will a penny help?
A penny carries the intent of the giver as surely as a dollar.
Take it then, Jehoash. And God bless you.
$1.20, $1.21. $1.25, Jehoash. Jehoash.
$1.25. How can we build a sanatorium with $1.25?
I. This $1.25. It's the most beautiful thing in life. It's a beginning.
Jehoash's faith in launching a beginning challenged others, and in due time the sanatorium was erected. In those first days, as he worked for others, he forgot his own illness, and his hold on life grew strong. In 1903, there was another beginning for Jehoash. She was chestnut-haired and green-gray-eyed. She came from New Haven, Connecticut, and her name was Flora Smirnov.
Jehoash!
I'm here, Flora. Right behind you.
Did you hear the echo? Listen. Jehoash! Jehoash!
It's strange that you should do that, Flora.
Strange why?
Listen. I am an echo from the hill. I am the joy great works instill. I am
Jehoash,
the pain.
When you recite your poetry to me, I...
You what, Flora?
I wish I knew Yiddish better, that's all.
I'll teach you, Flora.
I'll be going back east soon, Jehoash.
Soon? How soon?
A week. Perhaps 10 days. I've overstayed my visit at my sister's already.
Flora, I wish...
What, Jehoash?
I wish I had the right to ask you to stay.
Ask me, see if you have the right.
Oh, I can't. You're young, you're healthy, you deserve...
I deserve what I want, Jehoash.
It would be unfair, Farah. Terribly unfair.
But your consumption is cured?
It's under control.
Then...
But the doctors, they say that at any time... Farah, let me tell you frankly. They say that any day may be my last. How can I ask you to live with that?
You live with it.
Oh, it's different.
Jehoash, in some ways I think you're still a child. Isn't everyone's time on earth limited, uncertain? Isn't what we do on earth more important than how long we stay?
Flora, where did you learn that?
From you, Jehoash. From you.
In the year 1903, Jehoash and Flora Smirnov were married. Together they faced the riddle of time and work and found answers that brought them happiness. And in 1905, Jehoash Bloomgarden, who was not unused to hospitals, was strangely unnerved in one in Denver.
Jehoash, stop pacing back and forth like a caged lion.
I can't help it, Chaim. What time is it?
30 seconds later than the last time you asked.
30 seconds. It can be a lifetime.
That's a comforting thought.
Yeah, not at the moment.
Oh, Mr. Bloomgarden.
Yes, nurse. How is she?
Mr. Bloomgarden, it's a girl.
And my wife. How's my wife?
Oh, she's fine. You'll be able to see her soon. Oh,
thank God.
Sit down, your horse, before you fall down.
Thank you. Chaim. Oh. You know, Chaim, I've thought about this moment. How it would be and what I would feel. I thought about how a child would be still another reason for life, a link with the future.
I understand you, Horace.
But, Chaim, now that it's happened, that isn't what I feel at all.
And what do you feel, George?
I just feel happy.
It was a happy life and a creative one. And in the years that followed, the man who had been given 3 months, at the most 6, to live, wrote thousands of poems in praise of life and the beauties of God's world. His wife and his daughter gave him the support of love, and the man, Jehoash, continued to respond to the claims of life.
It's impossible, Jehoash. No one man can do it.
Yes, that's what you said about the sanatorium, Chaim. Yet the sanatorium stands in Denver.
The work of many men, Jehoash.
Yes, and perhaps what I now plan to undertake, perhaps it too will be the work of many men before it's finished.
But your health, Jehoash, the strain...
I once told you, Chaim, there is nothing so beautiful in life as a beginning.
But to translate the Bible into Yiddish, why should you tax yourself with such a gigantic task?
Chaim, we started the sanatorium because we knew our brothers needed medical care to cure the illnesses of the body.
Of course.
There are also hungers of the soul, Chaim. Men need a source of faith to cure those hungers.
I don't dispute that, Jehoash, but...
Many of our brothers are denied that source, the Bible, because it hasn't been translated into the vernacular.
Jehoash, I know there's a need for a Yiddish Bible. It's your health I'm worrying about. Flora.
Yes, Chaim, what is it?
Has he told you what he's planning?
The translation of the Bible into Yiddish? Yes,
yeah.
He's told me.
Well, what do you think of it?
Think of it, Chaim. When Jehoash says he's going to do something, I don't question it. I ask myself only, how can I help?
But then 2,000 years, only 2 men have undertaken such a task.
Then a third one can. Hi. When I was younger, I used to set myself tasks in order to be sure that I would finish them.
And now?
Now I know better. The task of battling against human suffering and ignorance is a duty, not a choice. And the task is never really finished. Chaim, you'll find it in the ethics of the fathers. It is not thy duty to complete the work, but neither art thou free to desist from it.
For more than 2 decades, Jehoash gave his life day by uncertain day to his task of dedication. Book by book, he completed his translation of the Bible. He worked as he lived, knowing that each day might be the last.
If I had had several lives, I would gladly have given them all for my translation of the Bible.
In 1927, Jehoash Blumgarten died, his Bible translation and commentary complete, but not completely published. His wife, and then his daughter and his son-in-law, completed the task of publication. It will be studied by scholars not yet born. Are you wondering why I said at the beginning that this was not only the story of Jehoash, but also your story and mine? Then ask yourself a question. Must a man be sick to tap the powers of his faith and creativity? Each of us walks the earth for a limited but uncertain time. And perhaps the time itself, is not important. Only what we do with the time we have, so that our deeds and thoughts may join the endlessly flowing stream.
You are great. Infinity and shadow. Vastness and depth. You make me and raise me and make of me infinity. And my soul becomes infinity, becomes creation, becomes allness, becomes fullness, becomes you.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Martin Tannenbaum, philanthropist and prominent civic leader in New York City. Mr. Tannenbaum.
Today we have listened to the story of a man whom God had blessed with the ability to write poetry and other works which enriched the life of thousands of his readers. As he expresses it in the script we have just heard, if God gives a man the gift of talent, it doesn't belong to him only. Yehoash overcame personal difficulties and great suffering in order to make this talent part of our common heritage. Particularly through his classic Yiddish translation of the Bible, he made it possible for hundreds of thousands of his Jewish brethren to uncover the beauty and grandeur of Scripture. Through his work, many people were able to gain a new understanding and a new appreciation of the Bible. He translated beauty and profundity into words which could be grasped by many to whom they had been unavailable. He also realized that his gift was not only for himself, but to be developed for the benefit of all. Though there are few among us who have the talent to write poetry, every person has been blessed with some particular skill. The example of Yehoash should inspire us to develop this talent in the face of all obstacles, so that we may add to the sum total of human good. By allowing these talents to lie dormant, we not only rob ourselves of the joy of achievement and pride of creation, but also abuse a gift which the Creator has given to us. No man is alone in the world. Yehoash was an artist. He could see what others could not see, feel what others could not feel, and express what others could not express. Neither sickness nor poverty could deter him from dedicating his life to sharing these blessings among others. His contribution to world culture has become an immortal tribute to his courageous spirit.
Thank you, Mr. Tannenbaum. Our Eternal Light drama today, Yehoash, was written by Mark Siegel and featured Norman Rose as Yehoash, Peter Capel as Chaim, Joan Loring as Flora, Leon Janney as Morris, Joseph Boland as the inspector, Dan Ocko as the doctor, Marion Carr as the nurse. Alexander Scorby was the narrator. The poetry of Yehoash heard in today's script was translated by Dr. Isidore Goldstick and Yehoash Dworkin, the poet's grandson. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. The music was composed by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. This has been an NBC Radio Network production under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.